The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 11. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on July 8th, 2012, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ye yatamang prapadyante, tangstataiva bhajam yoham, mama vart manu vartante, manushya parta sarvashaha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Purport. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahmadoti effulgence and is the all-pervading super soul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as supreme master, another as personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocation of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged with the Lord with the different types of worshippers. And the pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As far as those who are impersonalists and want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual into existence, by annihilating the individual existence of a living entity, Krishna helps them also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service of the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them, who are not firmly situated even in their impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yageshvara. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushang param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or as desirers of all fruitive wealth, or as after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Banijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vandita Shri Vishakandvitamscha. So the verse says, it's all surrendered to me. In Prabhupada's purport, he just talks about the different spiritual paths. He doesn't talk about the materialists. He talks about the transcendentalists. But yet, the Sanskrit here there's the word sarva there. I don't see sarva, but still, it's translated as all surrendered unto me. So that can also be understood. Because the non-devotee there is surrendering to Krishna's material energy. So everybody's surrendering to Krishna in different ways. It's like in the state, some people go to the university. They attend the university and get their degree, you see. Law-abiding citizens, they attend the university. Those who do not abide by the law, they attend another state institution. It's called the state penitentiary. Just like in, they have one joke, there's in Pennsylvania, there's Penn State, and there's a state pen. So you can go to Penn State or the state pen, state penitentiary. We also have ours here, the famous one in Huntsville. Texas is very famous for heavy, heavy prisons. One inmate, he was being transferred. He was in a federal prison, but they were transferring him down to a state prison, Texas state prison. So he knew it would be too heavy, so he wrote a letter threatening the president to kill the president from within prison. He said, I'm going to kill you. So it's a federal, they transfer him back to the federal prison because he didn't want to be in the Texas prison system. So he wrote a letter threatening the president so he could be sent back to the federal prison where it's more, they're more mellow. And the state, Texas is known for very heavy duty prisons. Very heavy, heavy, heavy prisons, Texas. They have a lot of capital punishment here. It's a very heavy prison system. So he's sort of be in the federal prison and the Texas prison. So, anyway, people are very much mostly caught up in disobeying the laws of God. But they are surrendering in a different way, you see, to the Lord's material energy. But what is the result of surrendering the material energy? I mean, what do you get out of it? Birth, death, old age, and disease. It's like, what does a criminal get out of surrendering, you know, to his criminal desires? He's in constant fear of being arrested. Just like Prabhupada gave the example one time. He was walking with one policeman through the marketplace in Calcutta. As they're walking through, so many people started running this way and that way. Since they saw a police, they went, phew. He was just walking through this place. He wasn't out to apprehend anyone, but they just took off running. So Prabhupada asked him, what is going on? He said, oh, there are criminals. They're afraid I'm coming to get them. So a criminal, he lives in constant fear, you see, and when the police will come. So actually the non-devotee who is violating the laws of God, deep down within his heart, there's always that state of fear of when death will come and I'll be punished for all of this. See, they try to deny death. They say that, you know, just like that rascal professor, he told Prabhupada, Swamiji, when this body is finished, everything is finished. Professor Katovsky in Moscow. Because the idea of being punished for all their sins is just so intolerable, they just have to deny it by saying there's no life after death. I mean, they've been so sinful, you know, eating their mother, doing so many things. They have to deny it. They embrace atheism or Darwinism, you see, because it gives them a way not to have to be punished for their sinful activities. But, you know, it's hope against hope. The animal, sometimes when the predator is coming, he'll close his eyes. When it's hopeless, he'll just close his eyes and hope for the best. I'm just dreaming this, the fox is coming to eat me, you know. But that closing his eyes doesn't help him. The fox comes and grabs him. Mm-hmm. So they may close their eyes with atheism. There is no God. I don't have to be punished for anything because there is no God. I close my eyes to God, but you see, the Yamadutas will come knocking on the door. We've come to take you away. So it's better to live in harmony with the laws of God instead of trying to be an outlaw, not obeying the laws of God. Because then the Yamadutas won't touch you. Oh, that's a Hare Krishna devotee. You won't touch him. He chants Hare Krishna, therefore we won't touch. You see. Leave him alone. Not one of ours. He belongs to Krishna, you see. So it's a very intelligent thing. It's very good life insurance policy. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because death will come for all of us. I mean, it's inevitable. As long as you have a material body, you know, as soon as you're born, death is certain. You can't avoid it. Doesn't matter if you're old, young, white, black, male, female, Russian, American, whatever you may be, Indian, Gujarati, doesn't matter. Everybody is subject to the law of death. Krishna says, Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. I am all devouring death. Krishna eats everything, everyone. Everyone gets eaten by death. Krishna in the form of death. So why not become immortal? I mean, this really is a very good program the Prabhupada has given us, you know. Krishna has given us. Prabhupada has revealed it to us, what Krishna is giving. It's really an excellent program. I mean, I can't imagine why the whole world hasn't taken this. They're just covered by Maya. I can't understand why the whole world has not joined this movement. It doesn't make sense. Why they haven't joined this movement? Why everybody hasn't surrendered to Krishna? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, everybody's on the Titanic and the iceberg is hit and there's only a few of us here in the lifeboat. Everybody else is on the boat trying to enjoy the last dance in the ballroom, you see? But they're playing one more number down there in the ballroom. They say, oh, this ship's not going to sink. You know, we're going to play one more number and then we'll think about maybe whether we need to go to the lifeboats or not. You see? We're wondering, why are there only a few of us here in the lifeboats? What's going on? You see? People are covered by the false conception that they can actually enjoy this material life. You see? I got money, I got a car, I got a house, I got a job. You see? I got kids, I got a dog, I got a guitar. I'm set. Prabhupada calls these fallible soldiers. He cannot save you at the time of death. When it's time to go, it's time to go, and that's about it. It can come at any second. You never know when it's going to come. At any second. Doesn't matter if you're young, old, in the middle, whether you live on this side of Austin or that side of Austin. It doesn't matter. Or in Round Rock, wherever you may be. Square Rock, I don't care where you are. When it's time to go, it's time to go, and you can't do anything about it. You really can't. There's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is prepare yourself right now to be Krishna conscious. Because whatever is most important to you in this lifetime whatever is the central point of your existence, that's what your mind is going to go to at the time of death. That's a fact. That's where your mind will naturally gravitate at the time of death. Whatever you find to be the most important thing, that's where your mind is going to gravitate. So, what's my most important thing? My eating? My sleeping? My mating? My defending? Are these the most important things in my life? Well, if they are, I can tell you where the next body is going to be. If you're lucky, you'll be an animal. If you're lucky, you'll be an animal instead of a plant. If eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are more important to you than anything else right now, if you were to leave your body in this consciousness, an animal body is where you're heading. You see? So we don't negate these things, yes. Take your eating, sleep, mating, defending. There's no problem with that. But do it for Krishna. Engage it in Krishna's service, you see. If you want to eat prasadam. If you want to sleep, do devotional service. And then take rest so you can do more devotional service. You see? If you want a mate, well, raise Krishna conscious children. We have no objection. We'd like to have hundreds of Hare Krishna kids running around. It'd be great. And train them up from the very beginning how to become the pure devotees, how to bow down to Krishna. Man manava mad bhakto majaji mang namaskuru. Vang atmanang matparayana. You see? In defend your Krishna consciousness against Dr. Hawking's. You want to defend Krishna consciousness movement. Defend against the attack of the atheists and the impersonalists and the hedonists and the this-ists and the that-ists. You see? Defend Krishna consciousness against all the attackers. Go out on the street, take Bhagavad Gita, and go out in the street and distribute Bhagavad Gitas, you see. Defend Krishna from all attackers. Go out and establish, yes, this is the Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, and these are his teachings. We would like you to read this, sir. You see, be merciful. Be merciful upon the fallen souls of this age. So in this way, we can use these propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in the service of Krishna, and become liberated souls. Iha yasha hirer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalasvapyavastasu jivan muktasu uchite. One who engages his body, mind, and words in the service of Krishna is a liberated soul even in all conditions of material existence. Whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're in the commute, whether you're at the grocery store, wherever you may be, if you engage your body, mind, and words in Krishna consciousness, you are a liberated soul. Liberated soul means he is not touched by the material nature. He's like a swan. You can take a mixture of milk and water, extract the milk, and leave aside the water. Paramahamsa, you see. So you absorb yourself, and how do you do that? Chant quality round. Try to feel the presence of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Absorb your mind in it. Each syllable, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, absorb yourself in the vibration and try to feel how Krishna is present. He actually is. We just don't feel it. We're so dull. We're so caught up in sentient navigation, we don't feel how Krishna is present. But Prabhupada said we should feel that Krishna is present, and we chant japa. You see, try to feel Krishna has come. Let me experience him. He's right here. He's right now. But where am I? I'm somewhere else. Instead, I'm not here and now. I'm somewhere far away from here and now. But Krishna is right here, and he's right now in the name. But I'm not here. My mind is going a million miles away, somewhere looping a loop around the Milky Way. And, you know, I'm not here. Focusing on the name. My mind is thinking in the past or dreaming about the future. I'm not in the present. I'm not here. I'm not now. I'm somewhere else. Even though Krishna is right here, right now, I'm not. So let me actually be right here, right now, associating with Krishna in the form of the Nam. Nama avatar has come. So the point of this verse is, or one of the unlimited millions of points of this verse is, to be more precise, the point is that to whatever extent you absorb yourself in the name, to that extent you will become unlimitedly rewarded. There is unlimited mercy available in Krishna's association. Krishna Sangha. Krishna Nama Sangha yields unlimited benedictions. So therefore we must carefully chant Hare Krishna. We must avoid the offenses. This is why we give initiation. Our gurus in ISKCON and the order of Prabhupada, you see, the system, we are passing on the system that Prabhupada gave us, that we want you to make this commitment to chant at least 16 rounds every day, because this chanting, this commitment to chanting, will give you the necessary focus of consciousness to remain absorbed 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. Because right now, let's face it, our minds are absorbed in everything but Krishna, practically speaking, 24 hours a day. We're thinking about this, that, so many things. My income, you know, repairing the leak in the roof of my house, you know. There's so many things about our material situation. We're totally absorbed in it, you know, completely absorbed in it. How much we're actually connecting with Krishna, you see, it's not very much. So we have to remedy this. We have to learn how to start getting connected with Krishna, you know, really, really make that solid connection. We're not tuned in to Krishna very well. We are tuned in a little bit, but we're getting so much static along with the broadcast. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad would take us on vacation. We would get in the car and head out to Big Bend National Park in West Texas. And we'd be trying to, after sunset, especially, it was difficult. We tried to, around the middle of nowhere, you know, hundreds of miles from the nearest town, or from any substantial town, trying to pick up a radio, trying to hear something on the radio, you know, flipping the dial. All you get is static, you know. You hear a little something, you know, a little, but then, you see. So right now, we're tuned into Krishna to some extent, but we're not perfectly tuned in, and therefore we're getting somewhat static along with the broadcast. So instead of ecstatic, you see, static. I remember one time I saw somebody had one of these super-duper hi-fi sets for radio listening. It was a hi-fi radio, big fancy hi-fi radio for tuning into the FM stations, you know. They had the tuning knob and then they had the fine tuning knob. You get to the station and then you take the fine tuning knob and you really, really zero in. You just get it perfectly. So that stereo comes through just perfectly. You know, this is for audiophiles, you know, really get into the subtleties of it. So we have to be Krishnaphiles, just like the audiophiles. And really, really into getting that perfect sound out of the sound system, you know, just really fine-tuning it. We have to be Krishna meditation files, you see. Really into refining that meditation to we're really, really well, super tuned in, you see. Because when you do that, then you get what's called ruchi, you get taste. You get a very, very sweet taste. Very, very sweet, very relishable taste. That is worth more than millions and billions of dollars. That's how sweet it is. There's no taste of this world, even being Kavera, the treasure of the demigods, cannot compete with the taste that one can get by really being tuned in Krishna's name. So this is the sublime process that the great acharyas have given to us. Mahajana yena gatasya pantha. We are meant to follow this acharya mag, the path of the acharyas, because that will take us out of this dark, this deep, dense, dark delusion of Kali. This pathway will take us out of this deep, dense, dark delusion that we're entangled in at the present moment. I mean, why be caught up in being something that you're not? I mean, it's crazy, you know. We've been programmed very expertly programmed by the material energy to think that we're these bodies. It's an impossible proposition. Okay, now be a good little boy. How many times a kid hears that, you see? Or how can he be a good little boy when he's not that body? Being good, that's one thing, but to be a good little boy, you see? He's thinking, you know, it's just like an impossible thing. Be a boy, be a girl. You can't be a boy or a girl. It's like, hey, now be a good shirt. Be a good green shirt. Or be a good striped shirt. I want you to be a good striped shirt. Please your mommy and daddy by being a good by being a good striped shirt. You see how ridiculous it is. Now be a good striped shirt. How can you be a striped shirt? It's only a garment that you're wearing. You see? You see, now, I'd be a good devotee. That's another thing, you see. That's how they should be trained. You're actually a devotee of God. You've simply forgotten, my dear son. We've all forgotten we're actually devotees of God. That's our eternal identity. Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishna and Nishida. So now we have all forgotten. So now you try to become a first-class devotee. You see, that's how they should be trained. That's proper training, you see. But be a good little boy, a good little girl. Be a good striped shirt. The thing is, we get into it because everybody's into it. The whole culture is into bodily consciousness, so we get totally caught up in it. We actually look in the mirror and think, how do I look? You see? How do I look today? So when death comes, what are we going to think? Oh my God, I'm dying. I am dying. I am dying. It's the most fearful thing. You see? So we really need to train ourselves very seriously and carefully in Brahman consciousness. I'm spirit self. You see? Para-Brahman consciousness. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Very important we train ourselves like this. Because all of their so-called enjoyments actually cannot satisfy the self. They make such big, big, big arrangements for enjoyment here, and especially in Austin we've seen. Some of you remember we used to have our center at 807 A East 30th Street. Remember them? On the creek? It's a nice center, but we were like a block and a half from the football stadium. And when there was a game, oh my God, it's all you could hear was, I mean, all you could hear was thousands of people cheering and roaring, you know. And they were coming and going with their orange hats, you know, and their orange shirts, their orange pants, Longhorn, you know, everything Longhorn. There's so much caught up in Longhorn consciousness, you see. So you wonder whether they're going to be in their next life. I'm a Longhorn. All right, you're going to be a Longhorn. And they're going to take you over to the slaughterhouse, too. You're going to be a steak, also. After the game, where do they go? They go for a steak. They go to the steakhouse for the, you know, to the Longhorn game. So they're, where are they heading? To become a Longhorn steak. The next leg, you see. It's such an artificial thing. I mean, it's like Shakespeare said, much ado about nothing. What really is it? It's a little piece of leather out there, you know, blown up like a balloon on the playing field. You know. What does it really ultimately matter who, quote, wins the game? You see, what does it really matter ultimately? It's just some ego thing. We are great because our team won. The Longhorns are great because we won the game. Therefore, we are great. You see. What is the ultimate benefit? We won the game. Even when I was a UT student, I didn't bother going. I had the, you know, the pass as a student and all that. I didn't bother going to these games. What's the point of it? The soul is actually the eternal servant of God. That's the only thing that can actually satisfy him. When he reconnects with his actual nature. So therefore, we have to learn how to take up devotional service. It's not easy because we're so conditioned to be the enjoyers that we're asked to do some service. We're thinking, well, how can I get out of it? Is there some way I can get out of doing this service? You see? Because we're so conditioned to be the enjoyers, we think that service is some kind of drudgery. Now, I mean, I know growing up as a kid in the U.S., you know, they practically had to pull my teeth to get me to mow the lawn, you know, and washing the dishes, you know, even taking out the garbage. That was like they took an act of Congress to get me to take out the garbage. I mean, that's the way we grew up in America. That was American culture, Western culture, you know. You spend the whole summer listening to top 40 hits trying to win a contest, you know, but if you have to do some service, forget it. Vacuum the rug, you know, mow the lawn. You must be kidding. You know, it was that kind of a... That's the American mentality I grew up in. The idea in Prabhupada just was such a revolutionary thing. I mean, service? Devotional service means you don't get paid anything. You don't get any money. Maybe I'll do a service. You give me $20 an hour, sure. Yeah, well, $50 an hour, okay, I'll do the service. Well, that's not even service, really, you see. That's business. And therefore, devotional service. What's the pay? I mean, what do we get out of this? You want me to do this? I don't feel like doing that. What's the pay? Well, the pay is you get to revive your eternal identity. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. Your natural inclination is to do the service to Krishna, actually. You have a natural inclination. But we're so conditioned by the material nature, now it seems unnatural to do what is actually natural. So the trick is, even though it feels unnatural, do it anyway, out of duty. My doctor says you need to take this sugar candy to get free of your jaundice disease. You say, but doctor, it tastes so bitter, I just want to spit it out. But my dear patient, kindly have faith in me as your doctor. And if you will take the sugar candy, gradually it will taste horrible in the beginning, but just take it and don't spit it out. If you keep taking it, gradually, the natural taste will come back. You see, and that'll be the most, really delicious sugar candy. Yummy, yummy, yummy. You see? So devotional service is actually very yummy. To do anything for Krishna, whatever is required. You see? Shavanam, kirtanam, scrubbanam, mopanam. You see? It's all ecstatic. It's all ecstatic, you see? But due to our conditioning, we think, how can I get out of it? I'm happy if I can get out of it. Whew, I got out of it, thank God. You see? We have to be intelligent and actually psychoanalyze ourselves properly and see what's going on. And understand, okay, I'm not so inclined. If it's this type of service, it's according to my propensity, yeah, I like it. But if it's not according to my propensity, well, no, thank you. We have to realize that actually, of course, in the beginning, we don't pressure people to do things that are not their propensity. Because we understand it's difficult in the beginning for someone to do that. So we're sensitive to them. But the devotee should be actually very eager on his own side to step forward and volunteer to do those things which he may not find to be his propensity. He should be intelligent and realize this is going to give me the greatest spiritual benefit to do what is not my propensity for Krishna. Because that way I can overcome my aversions, where everything becomes ecstatic. Even the things that I didn't like to do, now I can relish them too, you see. Whereas a kid, I hated washing the dishes, but now for Krishna, I can wash the dishes and relish it, you see. Sweeping the floor, whatever it may be. I can relish it because it's for Krishna. If we truly love Krishna, then we'll do whatever Krishna needs to be done, you see. This is Krishna consciousness. So I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
Gurudev, the translation says everyone follows my path. So my question is, let's say somebody is a cheater.
Somebody
is a cheater. Let's say a bogus guru.
Yeah.
How's he? How they are.
He's serving the material nature of Krishna. Just like in the state, everyone is following the laws of the state. The law-abiding citizens are voluntarily doing that, and the criminals are also forced to follow the laws of the prison. Get in your cell, come out of your cell, go to the dining room, now go to the courtyard, break rocks. You see, they're forced to follow the laws of nature. There are two sets of laws. There's this two energies, the spiritual energy and the material energy. Everybody's serving Krishna. Either the spiritual energy or the material energy. So bogus guru, he's serving the material energy. And going to the darkest region of ignorance, taking his followers with him. It's the greatest crime. Bogus guru is the greatest criminal, actually. He's worse than a bank robber. In the name of spiritual enlightenment, he's misguiding the people. You are all God. It's the greatest crime. Prabhupada explains in the Shirsha Upanishad, they go to the darkest region of the universe and their followers go with them. They're fully absorbed in serving the Lord's material energy in the most despicable way, and they do go to the darkest region of the universe. Any other questions?
Gurudev, sometimes, like we come across people or we hear people who have, they have human bodies, but their behavior is very animalistic.
Very.
Very animalistic.
Yes, yes.
So the question is, they are better be animals than humans. So why would they become humans if they are?
They were given a chance. In other words, the living entity, from being sinful and animalistic, he has to go down. He's given a body suitable to fulfilling his animal desires. And by doing so, he burns off all of the sinful reactions of his previous human life when he engaged in so many sins. He goes through many, many births in which he's purified of these reactions. And finally, when he's sufficiently purified, when all the when these sins are burned off to such an extent that he's qualified to get a human body, then he gets another shot at being a human being. It's like a prisoner who behaves well in the prison. Now he's let out on parole, then again he commits a crime and he goes back in prison again. You see? If he had taken his parole properly and obeyed the law very carefully, and he becomes a free man. If he violated the conditions of his parole, he goes back into the prison. So they were given a chance to be a human being because they had done so much tapa, and, you know, as humans, animals and plants suffered so many horrible conditions, very miserable conditions, to burn off the sins from their previous human life. Now you've burned off those reactions, now we'll give you another shot at being a human being. And what do? They abuse it. So back to the animal kingdom they go. They use it properly by taking up this path of spiritual awakening, you see. Then they don't go back down to the animal kingdom. Is that clear? Yeah.
Prabhu, you were talking about propensity to do service.
Propensity?
To do service.
Yeah.
And how in the beginning stages we should do services that we like, but then later we should be able to do any service.
That's right. The pure devotee can do anything.
But if you're not able to do something properly, would it be fair to do it for Krishna? Like, say for example, I want to make garlands because I think it's a nice service, and it's not something I'm good at. So for me,
take training, then find someone. if there's nobody available to make garlands, and the garlands need to be made, then you need to take help. Say, okay, please take help from someone who knows how to make garlands, you see. Now please train me. I, this is a service that needs to be done. Just like here in Austin, Guruvandi is very expert at making garlands, you see. One can take training from someone who's expert. Of course, she learned from you know who. Guru Mata is the real expert. So you can take training from Guru Mata directly. This is Guruvani get trained. You can get trained by Guru Mata, Vishnu Priya Mataji. Get trained how to make garlands very nicely. So, just like I didn't know how to make cauliflower cook. I'd never been into the kitchen ever to cook anything as a devotee. But there was a little tiny preaching center. There were just three of us. It's myself and Mother Gayatri and Amarendra Prabhu. Prabhupada disciples in Gainesville, Florida. So I remember one day Mother Gayatri invited me into the kitchens to train me how to make cauliflower pakoras. That was my first lesson in cooking, how to make cauliflower pakoras. You know. So we should be willing to, we may not be united, there may be some we have no access to knowing how to do it, but we should always be willing to take training. Always be willing to take training. Not that, no, I don't do that, I just do this. No, I don't know how to do this. Let me get trained then. This is the proper understanding. Let me be enthusiastic to get trained. If I don't know how to do something, let me get trained how to do it. That enthusiasm is the qualification for doing anything, actually. If one has the enthusiasm, even if he doesn't have the skills, that enthusiasm will empower him to be able to get those skills. Does that make sense? Yeah. Any other question? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That enthusiasm, very important thing. Prabhupada ordered me like that, he said. He gave me all encouragement, he said. Continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. And enthusiasm is a very, very important thing, and how we can attract the mercy of Krishna. Enthusiasm. I remember when the Texas devotees from Austin, we went to the West Coast, and back in 71, we were known for being enthusiastic devotees. Oh, another one of those. Another one of those. I heard somebody say, "Oh, look, there's another one of those enthusiastic Texas devotees." So we have a Texas devotees have been noted for their enthusiasm. You see. So please, everyone, be very enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. That will attract Krishna's attention. Oh, just see, he's very enthusiastic. He may not be expert, but he's enthusiastic. Utsahan is the Sanskrit enthusiasm. Uttahan nistayadaryat tat tat karma pravartanam. It's described in the Upadeshamrita. Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. These three things. If you're enthusiastic but you don't have any patience, that means you're in the mode of passion. And that's a flaw. But if you're patient and you have no enthusiasm, that means you're in the mode of ignorance. But if you're enthusiastic and patient, then you're in the mode of goodness. You see. So we should be very enthusiastic and also very patient. Like, I'm enthusiastic to, you know, lead a kirtan, but I have no patience. So if I go to the temple, they don't let me lead the kirtan, I leave because they didn't let me lead the kirtan. I'm enthusiastic, but I don't have any patience. So one should be enthusiastic and also patient. Well, I'm enthusiastic to lead the kirtan, but I should also learn to be enthusiastic to follow the kirtan as well. Whether I lead or follow, actually, it's all absolute. Shravanam kirtanam. Let me be absolute in every way, whether I'm giving the class, hearing the class, taking prasadam, serving prasadam. You see, we have to learn that devotional service is absolute. Well, I like it. I like taking prasadam, but serving it, oh no, I don't want to serve. I just want to take. We have to learn how to be situated on the absolute platform, whether I'm serving prasadam or taking it. It's all on the same absolute platform. So we have to learn how to be enthusiastic about whatever may be required of me for the success of the Krishna consciousness movement, for the success of our center here. Prabhupada said, make our Austin Center a grand success. So we should think, what can I do to help make our Austin Center a grand success? Let's see. This Prabhupada's desire. So how can I please Prabhupada? What can I do to help make our Austin Center a grand success? You see, that kind of enthusiasm should be there. What can I do? How can I be a part of it? Whether I'm a Hanuman throwing the boulders or I'm a spider brushing the dust, doesn't matter. But let me see what I can do to help make our Austin Center, our ISKCON Austin Center, a grand success. Can I go out and distribute books and tell people about our center? Can I, you know, arrange programs? What can I do? Can I volunteer service for the yard, to make the yard very beautiful, Krishna's garden? You see, what can I do? Everyone should be very enthusiastic. Not that we have to ask people to do things. People should be stepping forward. What can I do? What can I do? Please, how can I be of service? This mood should be there. That's liberation. That's liberated consciousness. And one is very, very eager, 24 hours a day, to be engaged in service. There was a play called The Genie. It used to be a popular play in the ISKCON temples. You ever see The Genie play? Anyway, there was this king, and somebody said, there was a genie here who would do whatever he wanted him to do. Somehow or other, we actually did the play in Houston at our temple years ago. It was amazing. We had some real devotees with real dramatic flair, and we got some effects from the theater story. You know, we actually had a smoke go off, and it was really quite. They made special genie shoes, and it went like this. It was really well done, costuming and the stage effects. And they did it really well done, the genie play. So the genie comes out of the lamp and he says, give me something to do. And the king says, okay, you know, wash all the windows in the kingdom. And the genie was empowered, you know. He could do it. He went back immediately. He says, I'm finished. The king said, well, I'll do this. And the genie was so quick at doing whatever the king wanted. The king was bewildered. How does he keep him engaged? It was a curse. If you didn't keep the genie engaged, then it would be a negative, like it would be a curse upon you. So you had to keep the genie fully engaged. And he gave him this, that, but finally he engaged him in devotional service, you see. And then he had no problem, because devotional service is unlimited. But in material service, he just couldn't keep him fully engaged. So that was a very nice drama, the genie play. Devotional service is where you can have be unlimitedly engaged, deriving ever-increasing benefit from connecting with Krishna, that amazing personality who is engaged in unlimited pastimes in his sweet transcendental abode. That person who has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame. And that person is waiting for us to come back and resume our eternal activities in his service. So the more we can be in the service mood now, the more we become qualified to regain that abode of unlimited devotional service, the transcendental abode. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied? Yes?
So here you have the most, you know, powerful person in the entire universe or existence. He doesn't really need anything from anybody. He doesn't need any, you know, service. He's the most
powerful one. That's right.
So
why serve him?
So then it's like, what can you give him that he doesn't already have?
Yes. Actually, that's a fact. The thing, I'm going to cook some nice prep to please Krishna, but what is your prep compared to Radharani's cooking? She never cooks the same preparation twice, and every preparation she makes is absolutely inconceivably delicious. So, you know, what I can do for Krishna? You know, my service is so meager. I may try to, you know, make a flower garland, but it's, you know, it's like a piece of garbage compared to what, you know, they make for him in Goloka Vrindavan, you know. So what's the use of my even doing anything? I mean, it's just a hope. The thing is, Krishna wants our love. Just like we gave the example of that little child, you know, he wanted to make a birthday gift for his daddy. He saw his daddy's wearing the tie. So he made it. He took some paper and some crayons. He made a tie. You can't even put it on, but his father pinned it on, you know, and he was so proud of this tie a little boy made for him. So, you know, the father has a whole closet full of first-class silk ties from Brook Brothers, you know. So what's this little, you know, crayon paper thing? It's like a joke, you know. But the love, you see, the love which that little boy did it is more of it makes it the most valuable tie in his whole closet. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, we can't compete with anything. You know, somebody tried to do a nice kirtan, but, you know, it's just like, we're just like croaking toads compared to even the Gandharvas, what to speak of the Vaikuntha Vasis, you know, or the Goloka Vasis. You see, what is our kirtan? It's like it's disgusting, actually, compared to what the Goloka, the gopis. Just imagine the kirtan the gopis are doing for Krishna. Oh my God. So we can't even imagine how sweet and beautiful it is. You know, when Radharani sings for Krishna, wow, we can't even imagine how beautiful it must be, you see. So what's our kirtan? You know, it's like everything's crude, just very crude, base level, you see. So the point is that Krishna actually has everything, as you so aptly pointed out. He has everything. Doesn't need anything, but one thing he doesn't have, and that is our love. You are an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. You have a particular rasa or relationship with Krishna that no other jiva, there are actually an infinite number of jiva souls. You cannot count them. They're infinite, truly infinite in number. But each and every jiva soul has a particular rasa with Krishna, which is unique. It's not that there's just five, you know, primary rasas and everybody else, everybody's just a clone, you know. It's just like machines. No, every single devotee has unique qualities and characteristics that only he possesses. And Krishna, just like Krishna is missing that. He's missing the certain type of loving service that we can give him that nobody else can give him. Every single jiva soul is the most dear devotee of Krishna, actually. So Krishna is actually feeling sad. He's feeling incomplete. He's feeling unhappy that we're not here, that you're not with him. So any attempt to serve him, even though what service we can do, that gives Krishna the greatest happiness. Oh, this soul is trying to come back to me now. It gives Krishna the greatest happiness. Because you're trying to come back. The quality of the service is not so important to Krishna. That you're coming back, that's what's important to him. That quality will naturally improve as we become purified. That happens naturally. But the quality of the service is not so important. The fact that we're coming back to him, that's what matters to Krishna. We try our best, the best quality we can do. We know it's very low class. Whatever service we can do is low class. You see? Just like here, I'm trying to give this class, you see. I'm thinking, what is this compared to Sukadeva Goswami giving, you know? What is my class compared to Sukadeva? It's nothing. It's like a joke. But let me try to the best of my ability. And I don't have any intelligence. I don't have any devotion. You know. You know, I have no good qualifications. Let me at least try to do something to give a class that glorifies Krishna nicely and attracts you all to surrender to Krishna. You see? So, this way. And this way, even though, what is the quality of our service? It stinks, actually, compared to what they render in the Goloka Vrindavan. Our service stinks. It's really low-class service. But in spite of our stinky service, Krishna is, oh, you're coming back to me, you see. This poor soul has been dragged through the modes of nature for millions of lifetimes. Now he's making this humble attempt to come back to me. Jai! Krishna is very happy.
But isn't it that if somebody is sincerely trying to serve Krishna as being a Chaitanya Guru, doesn't he guide them?
Doesn't he what?
Krishna, as a Chaitanya Guru within the heart, guides them to become perfect.
Yes, that's right. I can answer your question. The answer to your question is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham tatada yuktanam madatam patik purvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding of which they can come to me. So if we have that sincerity, you see, then Krishna from within as Chaitanya Guru will give you the intelligence. Here's how you should clean this dish. Here's how you should lead this kirtan. Here's how you should give this class. Here's how you do the garden work, whatever it may be. How you should sweep the floor. He gives you the, if you're sincerely trying to please Krishna, he will give you the intelligence. Here, do it like this, do it like that. Just like I'm amazed when every time I look at these outfits that Vishnupriya Mataji has made, I'm just absolutely amazed at the intricacy of the beauty of what she's doing. It's like great works of art. Have you ever looked at these outfits very curiously? Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Krishna has given. She didn't go to some training school. Krishna gave her the intelligence from within because of her sincere bhakti, you see. How to do is such nice things for Krishna. So in this way, the Lord within, He will guide how to do this nicely, how to do that nicely. Simply we have to be sincere. That's all. Yes, I want to surrender to Krishna. Please, Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anything else?
Another question.
Yeah.
Even if you are chanting japa, why doesn't the eagerness for service arise?
Eagerness, okay. I remember this was a pet peeve of one of our early temple presidents here in Austin. When Vishnujana Swami went to San Antonio, then Sri Galim Prabhu became the in charge. And I remember he wanted me to do some service, and I wasn't very eager to do it. And he said, but you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're begging for service, and now it's coming to you, and now you're not taking it. He pointed out, and I realized that he was right. Sri Galim Prabhu gave me very nice instruction, very nice chastisement in that regard. I wasn't eager to do the service, but here I was asking for service, and the service comes, oh, no, I can get out of this service. So, if I'm not eager for service, then what is the quality of my chanting? Well, it's embarrassing, but if I'm not eager for service, that means my chanting is low class, is not very good chanting. So we can show the quality of our chanting becomes visible to the extent that we are eager to engage in devotional service. And that quality chanting is a very important thing, because that quality chanting is required to cleanse our heart of all the impurities. Mataji, any questions more there? You have the best questions. Any more questions? Okay, we'll stop here. Kandaraj Srimad Bhagavat, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.